Father John of the Cross died yesterday afternoon, so I'd like you to please keep him in your prayers. The Father John of the Cross was from Argentina, and he has been a Benedictine monk for the last 22 years, and has been the spiritual director of all of the monks at the monastery in Silver City. He's been sick for a long time. In fact, if you'll notice, two Sundays ago, it was very difficult for Father John of the Cross to give out Holy Communion. I was going to come up and help him in the distribution of Holy Communion, but in fact, he only had one ciborium. If you notice, he moved very slowly in the distribution of Holy Communion. The reason is because he's been very sick for a long time and in constant pain. And so nonetheless, he did wish to come and to assist at the retreat, to be able to give some talks to the young men who were here, and to be able to speak to them and give some spiritual advice. And so he traveled by car up here. And of course, Father John has been sick for a long time. Though he has been sick for a long time, he's been in and out of the hospital for many times in the last several years. So, but even though he's been sick for a long time, it's come as a great shock that he died last night. He died in his sleep at the monastery. He was able to be anointed by Father Hugo and Father Cyprian. But so they died last night, and we'll just be sure to keep him in the prayers. The funeral will be on Wednesday, this Wednesday, July the 3rd, in St. Mary's, Kansas. And so in order to help prepare for the funeral, and in order to get things in order for all the priests of Our Lady of Sorrows, we at Our Lady of Sorrows in Phoenix have always worked very closely with the monastery. There has been constant contact between the monks and ourselves. And, in any case, we will all be there to participate at the funeral of Father John of the Cross. The epistle for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death. For we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ, knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more. Death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once. But in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Gospel. It is taken from that according to St. Mark, chapter 8. At that time, when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way. For some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them here with the bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. And taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples, and set before them. And they set them before the people. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus for the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today, a few considerations on the mystery that took place yesterday. The majority of you did not know Father John of the Cross, but I must say, that for those of us that had the privilege to know him, that it was said of all who met him that this man is a walking saint. We do not usually canonize those that have died. He was a sinner like the rest of us. But at all times, he brought happiness and holiness where he went, and he brought our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, a contemplation on the mystery of the passing of an apostle, taken from St. Thomas Aquinas, and the strength of our church. Father John of the Cross, like many of the Benedictine monks and like all of them and those that live in the cloistered orders of the church, they are not seen very much by the people. He lives on top of a mountain in Silver City, New Mexico. Before that, he lived in the wilds of Brazil in a monastery there. Before that, in a monastery in France, in 3 different Benedictine monasteries. In each place, secluded from the world. The Benedictine monks and all of the monastic orders of the church, they show to us, and they are reminders to those of us that are out in the world, where the power of our church comes from. Let us begin with the first duty of the priest. The apostles tell us the first duty of the priest, and that is to preach. It is not the highest duty. It is not the greatest thing that he does. It is simply his first duty. The greatest thing that a priest does, and what makes a priest, is to offer sacrifice. And without the sacrifice, there is no value to his preaching. And yet his first function as a man taken from among men for those things ordained to God, to bring souls to our Lord Jesus Christ, is to preach. God has given a special power to the words of the priest. The power comes from the Mass. But where does it come in the living church? St. Thomas says, what is preaching? And he says, preaching is active contemplation. You know that we human beings have a breath, a supernatural breath, that is the life of our souls. And that breath we call prayer. Without prayer, there is no life. There is no supernatural life. And so the greatest thing and the most important thing that you do in your own personal supernatural life is to pray. To breathe forth the communication of yourself to God and God to yourself. But then there is the highest form of contemplation. And St. Thomas says this highest form of contemplation, which is the fruit of contemplation, is preaching. The priest who is a preacher, it is his duty to spend time in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his duty to pray and to meditate and to contemplate. And then that which comes from his contemplation is that which he is supposed to speak. And it has power if the contemplation is from God. And it does not have power if it is not. But the power comes from the contemplation. The church is wise. And the church knows that the parish priest, who will be out amongst the people all of his life, though he has a beautiful task to take care of the souls entrusted to him by God, often he can be worn down by that task. Often he can find himself running here and there and finding himself making the mistake of St. Peter, which is one of the great mistakes of the priest. St. Peter made this great mistake in the garden. He saw that there were men coming to crucify Jesus Christ, and he was going to stop the crucifixion. He laid out an apostolic plan, says St. Thomas. We have swords. Let us use our swords against the enemies of God, and they shall be destroyed. And so the unwise priest pulls out his sword, and he attacks the enemies of God, as the unwise priest did on that night. And St. Peter, when he pulled out his sword, he attacked the mob. And as Bishop Sheen says, he proved, this St. Peter proved by the handling of his sword that he was a very good fisherman. He knew nothing about swords. And so he couldn't handle them very well. He tried to replace action, he tried to replace prayer with action. And this is the common mistake of the parish priest. We need to do this, we need to do that, we need to start this organization and start that organization and start these activities and those activities. And by doing all of these activities, we will bring souls to Jesus Christ. When in fact, the wisdom of the church says, unless Jesus Christ is crucified, no soul will come to Jesus Christ. And this is the mystery of the crucifixion. We want to stop it. And God knows the foolishness of the parish priest. And so he put into the church the monastic orders, who would be devoted solely to the most important work of the priest, which is to pray. We say that his first duty is to preach, but how can he preach unless he prays? The priest who does not pray is damned, and the souls of his faithful are damned. If I do not pray, you are damned. Your salvation is intimately linked up with what I do. This is the way God has made it. And because of my weakness, and because I am a sinner, our Holy Mother, the Church, has made priests like Father John of the Cross. And like those monks whom you briefly saw a few weeks ago, you see them briefly. God sees them always. There is no power in our preaching. There is no benefit to your souls unless the Carmelites and the Benedictines and the monastic orders and the religious orders of the church pray and pray without ceasing and offer sacrifice to our Lord Jesus Christ. And unless they do, we cannot be saved. This is the wisdom and the beauty of our mystical body. You see me standing in the pulpit, but it is them who provide the power. Such is the wisdom of our Holy Mother, the Church. Father John of the Cross suffered intensely down the last many years. We do not even know how many, because he would never complain of his suffering. But we do have an idea, and that the doctors would say that they would give him morphine, but that morphine was not powerful enough to do anything for the pain that was directly on his spine. His whole spinal cord was being choked out. He was in pain no matter what he did. And they would try all kinds of different things, many operations going into the spine. Each one didn't seem to do any good. Recently they're contemplating, well, are we going to do another operation? But with him, he simply tried his best to live the monastic life. Even 2 weeks ago, last week, I spoke with Father John of the Cross the last time. He came to the ordinations. And sometimes he was in so much pain that he could not walk or stand for any period of time. And so he would say, for spiritual direction, for those who want to come and talk to me, just come into my bedroom. I'll be laying on the bed because I can't sit up too well. But you will come and speak. And so we would come and speak. And he would give advice. And though we knew that he was in suffering, he hid it so well that we were so used to this that we never thought that the extent of his suffering or how close he was to death. The kind of pain that the strongest medicines that this modern medicine has to offer can do no good to stop the pain. And yet he was always a priest. Sometimes he was unable to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. When he was unable, it was because the pain was even too much for him. 2 weeks ago, you saw a man stand at the altar who was a true representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not speak verbal words to you. It was his pastor. He was his prior that spoke to you. This is the wisdom of the church. It was not given for Father John to be a preacher. It was given for him to suffer. It was given for him to be an example. The monks at the monastery used to call him our mother. Always worried about whatever troubles that they may have had. Always watching them closely. Always encouraging them. Always saying good words. Paying attention to every little suffering that a monk might have. He was always watching over his children. And young men would come from outside the monastery and a few words of Father John, and he was able to get into the soul. Never a negative word. In fact, several weeks ago when he was here in Colorado, somehow the subject of jealousy came up in a conversation that I had with him. And he said to me, "I do not understand. How can it be that anyone can be jealous? It seems impossible." Always filled with the love of God. The power of the words of the priest come from the monks. Though the priest must speak words, they are no good if they do not come from the soul of the church. They are the soul of the church. We are together in all the things that we do. No part of the mystical body can function without the other. And so there is the preaching. And then there is the fact that we preach must celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In between the thumb and the forefinger, we find God Himself. But in our daily lives, we forget that God is in our hands. And we get distracted by the foolishness of the world around us. And so there comes an example. And God has sent His examples down the last 2,000 years. The holy men of the church have shown us how to live a good life and how to be priests of God. We have a tendency to become angry when we find that Jesus Christ was never angry, except with the Pharisees and except in the case of necessity. But in his general state, he was never angry. And so it is necessary that the priest follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and remove anger from his life. And yet we do not. And so there comes from time to time the example of one like Father John of the Cross. So we must strive our best to follow his example. Each of us is called to be a saint. Each of us is called to enter the kingdom of heaven, and there is no other kingdom worth belonging to. And yet we are so easily distracted by the foolishness of this world. We are called to heaven. Father John wished to die in the monastery. He feared that perhaps he would die in the hospital where he had been so many times. And by the wisdom of God, he was allowed to die in that place. Around all the monks. God is good. In the terms of human suffering, he suffered in a way that most of us will never experience or never be able to experience. And yet he was ready to suffer for many more years to come. God in his mercy took him yesterday. We need to try our best to follow the example of a holy man. You only saw him, but I'm sure that if you noticed, if you look closely at the way that he celebrated the holy sacrifice of the Mass, that indeed it was his holy sacrifice. He united himself in a special way to Jesus Christ at the moment of crucifixion when he said those words, "This is my body and this is my blood." And when he carried Christ from the altar, celebrated his last High Mass, what a privilege. It was in this church that he celebrated his last High Mass. It was your souls were the last ones, the last of the faithful to receive Holy Communion from his hands. It was a suffering priest who gladly carried the suffering Christ to souls in need of him. He was truly united to those hosts that he had to break so many times. Why does the priest bring Jesus Christ to you in the Holy Eucharist so you can become other Christs? The priest brings Christ to you so that you may live with Christ and see him face to face forever in eternity. Let us strive no longer to ever allow ourselves to forget that. We're made for heaven. Let's live the rest of our days to prepare for that place. We do not know at what day God will call us. Let us pray that we are ready. And let's live always in the state of grace. Receive our Lord Jesus Christ often. And try our best to follow the example of a holy man. We'll leave it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.